Everybody, welcome back to the international podcast Banter Banter. As my good co-host Mike has informed me, we do have a couple of listeners listening from outside the States. I think we discussed this a while back, though.
Poland, Switzerland, and several in the United Kingdoms.
Hello, foreign listeners.
And there's Aaron.
Great news is there's no tariff tax to listen to this. You can listen to it for free.
Oh, dear.
We appreciate you VPNing in on our podcast.
Thanks for representing such other totally awesome nations when choosing your VPN server. So, what's going on tonight, guys?
Not much. I just had a small, delicious sip of a man that I think is pretty fantastic. And by sip of a man, I mean the drink is named after someone that I think we all enjoy his movies.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Oh, I was close. Dang.
Yeah.
90s action stars.
Blue Owl Brewing. I am currently indulging in a sour red ale called Van Damme. That is D-A-Y-U-M.
I get it.
Damn.
I got it.
But yeah, it's a good beverage. And he does some good movies. I like his most recent one. It was a couple years ago, maybe, where he made a joke about being an action movie hero who was also actually a hitman. It was an entertaining movie. I think he does good work.
He brought out a series recently. I forgot what it's called, but it's basically a story about kind of his life as an action star. The whole thing is just a big spoof on him.
Oh, yeah?
I don't know what it's called. It might be the same thing. I don't know if mine was a movie or a TV show, but it was entertaining and enjoyable. Because he's like an old man, and at least in the first, like, 30 minutes, he tried to do the splits and couldn't, because that was his signature move, and he was fighting real bad guys. They all started laughing, and he was embarrassed. They beat him up a little bit before he came back and won the fight.
Huh, where'd you find this?
I want to say it was on Netflix, but I could be totally wrong.
Well, I don't know. It sounds a bit like it has the same beats of the thing I'm talking about, so maybe they're one and the same. Maybe it was a movie. I thought it was kind of like a mini-series, but
you could be right and I could be wrong. It's totally possible. I was not paying enough attention when it was shown to me. I just enjoyed it while I was watching it.
The internet probably knows.
Yeah, you can tweet at us the title of the miniseries and or movie or the location we can find it on.
You can just tweet us random garbage. I'm cool with that too.
Bright garbage. It has to be bright.
You know, just let us know. That kind of makes me think about the amazing thing that happened a while back at the NBA Finals where...
Oh, right, back in June.
Yeah, where the Golden State Warriors took out a full-page ad in the Toronto Star congratulating the Toronto Raptors on winning the championship. You know, instead of being angry over the loss, they did something awesome and congratulated their competition because it was a good competition, you know? They both escalated their game and had a great championship. And so I just wanted to do a little shout out to both the Toronto Raptors for winning and the Golden State Warriors for being good sports in their sporty game of the basketballs.
It's awesome when, you know, communities can get together and be cool about stuff.
Yeah.
It's a game.
Exactly. It's just a game.
Set down the competitive side and embrace the fact that it brings a lot of people together. I did not get to see that game personally, but from what I could tell over social media, it sounds like it was a great game and that the Raptors really, really earned the victory.
Yeah, I got the same news.
You know what that gets me thinking about, though, is just a lot of the more amusing things that happen, you know, with different communities. Like the other day I was reading some random game-related articles and I read about this one guy called Tidy Whitey Man. He's a player on Fallout 76, and he got inspired by some of the few other players that were roaming around, actually trying to play a role in this game about nothing. I guess it's sort of like our podcast, isn't it? Make your own content. But anyway, one of them was a house inspector, and the other one just roamed around helping out lobbies, which, you know, was really cool. Just kind of a hero, gave him a bunch of gear to start with. It inspired him. When one day by accident, while he was making a new character, while selling stuff off, accidentally sold his current armor. He didn't realize till much later on that he had been running around the game in nothing but his underwear. Thus, the legend of Tidy Whitey Man was born. He sort of focused in on it, kind of played the system a little bit to get the best perks that can get him to successfully play the game while not wearing any armor, which, you know, in most RPGs is kind of tough to go without any armor.
Yeah, it's got to be really difficult. I'm glad that he embraced this and achieved what seems to be a really good interaction with the community.
Right, and as it turns out, he just sort of became a little bit of a legend. He's like the local attraction, if you will.
That is interesting, because, I mean, yeah, the armor is usually so essential to being able to successfully navigate whatever world you're in. So it sounds like his encumbrance was nothing, except for, like, the weapons he was carrying.
I know whenever you wear insufficient armor, you risk a lot of radiation poisoning.
Boy, I bet he was cold really often. Because, you know...
Especially during that nuclear winter.
Right. Yeah, there. Oh, man. You just have
to... Sorry, I didn't mean to steal it out from underneath you. I apologize.
Man.
Mike, the lightning thief.
Forget Percy Jackson. You're the real... dang it! Both of you did it! Stop it!
Two in a row.
All right. Well, I clearly have nothing to contribute to this podcast, so y'all just... Y'all go ahead.
All right. See you later.
I'll sit back here. All right, yeah. Okay, go. See you later. Bye.
Bye.
All right, time to remove Aaron from the call.
How in the world did that just happen? How did y'all both steal both of my jokes right out from under me?
The nuclear winter one was kind of a slow burn. You built up to it, so I knew it was kind of coming. I don't know how Manny stole that second one out from under you.
I was trying to put a twist on it.
Golly, you brilliant. You know what? I can't even be mad. Like, I want to be mad, but I can't even really be mad because it was just well played. I bow to you as the better podcasters. The better jokesters. You may have all my riches.
Manny, you bring up a unique moment because a lot of the stuff I've seen in the past about 76, it's been hot garbage. Like, it's just, I'm gonna be a total jerk and poop in your Wheaties and then hand you the bowl back because I can.
Ew.
And it's nice that there's a guy trying to reverse that stereotype and that attitude.
It was also plagued with a lot of technical issues, so it definitely hasn't had the best first year, I guess. Well, it's not even a year old, but it's been about a year since the fires of hype were stirred amongst the masses.
I'm glad there's people trying to turn it around.
I understand it's just where the industry is now, but they added the Battle Royale mode in addition to human NPCs, and I know that's the hype right now, but still, it's kind of... feels like it's overplayed. Feels like every single major game has a Battle Royale mode now.
Heck, even Tetris has a Battle Royale.
Shut your mouth. Are you serious right now?
On Nintendo Switch, they created this for any subscribers of their online gaming service, but there is a game called Tetris 99.
Oh yeah, I've seen that. That looks fun and intense all at the same time.
It is you playing Tetris against 98 other players, where anytime there's multiplayer Tetris, the more lines you clear, it creates trash lines for the opponent player. And in this case, it gets spread out amongst like the 98 others, but you have specific targeting settings where you can hit people who have the most kills, who have the most badges, which happen whenever you take down so many people.
So...
or you can attack people at random, or you can attack people who have targeted you.
So it's essentially a video game version of Screw Your Neighbor.
But yeah, it's basically Tetris Battle Royale because you play till the last one.
Also, it sounds like Tetris Attack on crack. You guys remember Tetris Attack for the Super Nintendo?
Did you know that isn't actually a Tetris game? It has a proper Japanese title, and I can't remember what it was.
Okay. Yeah, I guess the same thing with Doki Doki Panic being changed to Super Mario Bros. 2 for us because we didn't get the lost levels because they didn't think that us American boys could handle those harder levels that were presented in that game.
And also, I'm not sure if you remember, but there was a Sega Genesis game called Dr. Robotnik's
Mean Bean Machine. Yes, I do remember it.
Actually, just a themed version of a popular Japanese puzzle game called Puyo Pop, which only recently started coming to the US just by that name without being reskinned for something else.
Speaking of puzzle games, there was a one for Nintendo called Yoshi's Cookie, And I think that might have been the actual first exposure of Yoshi as a character. Do you know if that was also a, what would you consider it, a...
A reskinning of a game?
Yeah, reskinning.
I'm not aware of it existing anywhere else.
Well, I'll tell you what they should have done to make their game work really well, is hire Keanu Reeves. Because that man, currently, has been doing so much fist bump, good human stuff for people. He got that random shout out in the middle of the presentation at his E3 event where he could have brushed the guy off or spouted something snarky at him, but he went with it and was like, no, you're breathtaking. You're all breathtaking.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, last month.
Yeah, it was a pretty cool thing.
He's an absolute treasure.
I think Keanu has done a great job cultivating and being a caring individual and making things as good as he can for everyone that he interacts with.
You know what was funny is I think it sort of took him off guard, because if you watch his reaction to it, he sort of like stops it, like dead in what he was going to say, and then just, you can see his stance shift because he wasn't expecting that.
I will have to rewatch it because I didn't actually see the video. I just read a lot of the comments and the memes that came out after that happened.
He's come a long way from the sad Keanu meme.
Yeah.
It took some effort to get to where he is now because he has gone through a lot. He's got a lot of emotional baggage, but he has made it a point to be a good person in Hollywood, in a place where a lot of people are scumbags and full of themselves.
It's a hard environment to work in. It's demanding. You're constantly in the spotlight.
Paparazzi, for crying out loud.
It's just really easy for temptation to take a hold and for you to forget that you came from the same place as a lot of those other people. I have some people that I went to high school with and that I worked with at my summer camp who I've watched work their way in Hollywood. One of them did some commercial ads a few years ago. Another one made it onto, I think it was the PS3, the light gun. He was the ad picture on that, which made me really happy getting to see my friend. He landed what seemed to have been a good photo shoot and a good ad spot. He's been in New York doing plays. It's a tough life, and it's split between two different locations. The New York acting scene versus the Hollywood acting scene, and both are unforgiving. So it's nice to see.
And very competitive.
Yes, yes, very competitive. So it's nice to see somebody showing.
You might almost say that it's a battle royale of its own.
Indeed.
Almost. Except when you're throwing lines at people, they might not be the good lines. Wipe your nose when you're done, kids.
I think it might have been fake, but there was either a meme or a fake commercial about Keanu being the spokesperson for Nintendo for the next Nintendogs, and it basically had him saying, like, take care of your dogs, or else.
I'd buy it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it is good.
I'd buy it off of that. Makes me feel bad about the fact that I love my dogs, but they look depressed when I come home from work some days. Sorry, dogs, I can't take you to work. I don't have that kind of a job yet.
I do like that there are some places that are starting to facilitate pet owners wanting to bring their dogs. I think that's really cool. I would love to work in an environment where dogs were allowed.
You could take them and just say that they're the new hire with a hair growth disorder.
There you go. Hi, this is Fido. He's in accounting.
They're also smitten with dwarfism.
Yeah, and he has problems talking. He just barks.
Well, speaking of people being bros, I actually just came across something that was old-timey bro treating the world right. Ulysses S. Grant, one of our presidents, was broke when he was old, and so he wrote a book of memoirs so his wife could live off the royalties. Mark Twain found out that Grant was only offered 10% of the royalties from the first printer, so he bumped it up and was like, no, no, no. 75% royalties off of this, I will give you. And it was a success. And Grant was capable of leaving his wife $450,000. Thanks, Mark Twain. Not only are you a national treasure for the amazing works that you wrote for us and being the person you were, but you took care of other people. You looked out for other humans trying to, you know, just make it in this spinning ball of dirt that we call Earth.
It's really embracing that concept of community.
I have a partial segue. I saw a meme, and I assume it's based off of the John Wick video game. But it had Keanu over the top, and then it had Keanu on the second half of the screen, but it was EA for the, it was the EA logo for Keanu, the EA in his name, and yeah, the image was blacked out of Keanu in the video game, and it said unlock $49.99. Definitely the difference between a game trying to provide things to the community and a game that's being toxic to its community. And by game, I mean a game company that made some poor decisions and hopefully has learned to rectify them and not make horrible transaction decisions like they did once upon a time.
Well, you know, on the vein of video games, it's really neat that we have so many individuals on platforms like YouTube and Twitch that will do charity streams. I think it's a really good way to take whatever small bit of influence, and, you know, in some cases it is no small bit of influence, to kind of just do what people enjoy them doing, but figure out an angle to give back to either a charity or sometimes even an individual who is in need. It's, you know, really awesome to see people kind of put together, even if it's a little bit of effort, it snowballs and it starts to mean a lot whenever you get them in large quantities. I guess it's just something that you never would have seen back in the 90s growing up if somebody told you, hey, there's going to be some kiddos your age, except in the future, that are going to play video games, and that's going to get a lot of money to cancer research.
Yeah, I think that's awesome that people are making that decision. And the previous, said two episodes ago, where we discussed charity work and things that we think are important, you know, building that community and recognizing that there is a civic duty to help others, to make our world better, super important, you know? Taking that time to help donate for cancer research, I think that's awesome, because cancer, it affects everybody. You probably know someone within two steps of you in your friends and family circle that knows someone that has cancer or has cancer themselves, and there's not a lot for them to go with, and we need more money to fund the research to solve the problem. So I think that's awesome.
It's also good to just see people socialize. I hear the argument a lot that modern technology and the internet has sort of divided us, but I've always argued from a different point, where I like to say that I think the way technology has gotten around, it has taught us to get together in different ways. I want to bring up an example, and it's a game or a social platform that I've never really had any interest in or really dabbled in too much, but I've been told about it on and off. Second Life. Apparently, there's full-on been people who get on and will have support group sessions for the more traditionally religious crowd. I've seen essentially they treat it like a virtual chat room where they get on and they host service for at least a couple of denominations that I'm aware of. And that sort of stands to me as an argument that counters the whole technology has made us disconnected thing, because there's a lot of people who in the past you wouldn't have heard about because we didn't have the technology for it. So we didn't know that these people were alone, that they were out there by themselves, not communicating or socializing in any way, but this has opened a venue for them to do that. And of course, that's also pulled in some people who beforehand used to wind up socializing in person a lot more. So I understand that, and I understand the fear that that brings from a societal view that looks at it from the older method of doing stuff. I'd like to say that there's a lot of ways that these things are incompatible with each other, a lot of the old ways of communication and everything, but I also think that there's just a lot of ways that we haven't figured out how to make them work together, because a lot of awesome things happen, and a lot of things that we feel we've been missing actually have just shifted their presence as to where they happen. A lot of people have moved digitally, and I wouldn't look down on them for that. That's cool. I enjoy face-to-face socializing, but that's just me.
I agree. The one thing I would add to that, I think it's more about how you use technology instead of the technology itself. It's how it's utilized that can connect you or disconnect you from your fellow peers.
I'm on board with both of y'all's statements. The internet and technology can really help people overcome some personal anxieties or social disorders so they can still connect with other humans. There are a lot of the older generations that don't see it because they don't use technology in that way. But there's an old photo, and it was in black and white, and it was the same statement of, oh, everybody's on their phone and they don't connect with other people around them. And this picture was from like the 30s or 40s or something, and everybody on the train is reading a newspaper. So the medium may be different, but it hasn't stopped people from connecting with each other. It's just the people that are viewing it and trying to use it as a judgment point aren't willing to look at all of the possibilities because it's not a technology that they think functions that way, or they just don't want to interact with it in that fashion.
If you remember the shift of the bookworm, how, like you were saying in that picture, when books were printed in mass and people were terrified that nobody was interacting anymore because everybody was buried in a book.
Yeah.
But now technology has shifted again, and now if you find somebody who's into books, society has also taught us to be like, oh, well, if they're into physical books, now you don't think of it so negatively. You're like, oh, well, they're well-read, they're well-cultured. It shifts.
I think it goes back to not everyone knows how to process change, so a lot of people fear it or are very negative towards it. You know, we're very quick to say that something like, oh, this is destroying us, this is destroying our youth, when in reality, I don't think those people are taking a close look and viewing it from multiple angles or through different lenses to see that, well, yeah, it can be detrimental, again, how it's used, but it can also be in service to what we're trying to accomplish now.
Yeah, totally agree. I will say, I know when I played a lot of online games, voice chat, it was just not my thing. I felt uncomfortable with it because it was new to me, and I was fast enough with typing, but they were always like, oh yeah, get into the voice chat. And I would get in so I could hear everybody, but I didn't want to talk, and that was just me dealing with a shift in the interaction style. Hearing their voices, I liked it, but I was also nervous about it because it's the internet, and I grew up in the early age of the internet with AOL chat lines and creepy dudes and kidnappers trying to snag little kids and scoop them up over the internet. I had a healthy fear of sharing my voice to the internet, and as I've gotten older, I have embraced the abilities of it to allow me to span distances and connect with people that I want to connect with.
Talking about that, though, as little as we have been around as a podcast, we've gotten a few people that, you know, have shown us a little bit of love or tossed a few characters our way. And I wanted to take a moment and give them a little bit of a shout out.
Heck yeah. We appreciate y'all.
Let's do it. Yes, absolutely. You know, word of mouth is how we're spreading the word about this podcast. And in a review or suggestion you give is just more exposure for us. So yes, please.
Circulate the tapes. Tell someone that if you listen to us, bring it up. That's the only way we're going to get heard of.
Make them a mixtape. It'll only be able to hold 2 episodes on it, but make them a mixtape of your favorite 2.
Share us with your family and friends.
I wanted to give a shout out to Abby Romy. He is our most active YouTube listener who does tune in, and he chooses YouTube as his platform of choice. He encouraged us back during Introitis and the Toxicity episode, just kind of said it was nice to hear something a little bit more personal. It was fine that we stepped away from the goofs just for that little bit of time.
Well, good. I'm glad for that statement and that you enjoyed those episodes, and I hope this one also kind of brings it back in for you, because I think this came from our heart.
Yes, thank you, Abba Romy.
Also from Twitter, at DeKintana37, he listened to our first episode on traditional board games and got really into it and sent us a picture of his gaming collection. And that sort of inspired us to have the episode going into the other broader side of board gaming with all of the alternative board games that have come out in the last several years. So thank you, DeQuintana.
I thoroughly appreciate you enjoying that episode and spurring us on to an additional deeper dive of that topic.
That was a fun episode, too.
We could easily do long episodes about several of those board games in depth, but
thank you, DeQuintana.
Please, if you guys have ideas or things you want us to expand on, hit us up, send us an email or tweet at us, leave us a YouTube comment like two people did, gave us some comments on the iTunes. And they not only rated us, but they did review us. And I want to say thank you for taking the time for that. That would be Jacob and Crazy Jam for rating and reviewing. Crazy Jam, thanks for saying that we do great goofs. And the conversation chemistry between the three of us is fantastic. Appreciate that compliment. I feel like sometimes, since we don't know what you guys are hearing on the other end, that we like it, but you guys hate it, so...
We are not at all robotic in our chemistry.
Destroy humans, launch nukes.
We're just reading a script that we've written out for several months now, and that's the only reason the chemistry sounds great.
Thank you, Crazy Jam.
We're actually one guy that uses, essentially, Microsoft Sam and just pitch shifts him enough in three different profiles to make it sound like it's three different people talking.
No, I'm sorry. As soon as you said...
Especially whenever we talk over each other or we do partial thoughts, that is totally on purpose, guys. I promise you.
It's the only way to make it sound real.
Sorry, as soon as you said that we were the same person, I immediately thought of a Cerberus dog, except three of its heads are our heads, and there's three different microphones.
We've also used the Snapchat filters to make our face look distinguishing between three different people, even though it's one face. Kind of like the gender swap, but we did...
Facial reconstruct.
Yeah, one of those things where they take the skull and they put the clay on it, but it was a computer program.
And if you ever spot us out in public for any sort of reason and you're like, hey, that looks like the banter guy sounds like... It's probably just a coincidence. And if we ever wind up doing any sort of organized live appearances, don't worry. We're all computer generated and they just use the holo technology that they did with like Tupac or the Squid Sisters or any of the Vocaloids in Japan. It's that sort of tech.
It's basically going to be like going and seeing gorillas in concert.
We are not three small humans standing on top of each other in a trench coat and that detective PI hat. I promise we are not.
We are not secretly all trapped inside of the body of a Pikachu and have taken it upon us to go and find our son.
No, we're trapped in a Dotrio.
We're Detective Pikachu's other three personalities.
No, can we be Detective Dotrio? Or Detective Doug Trio? How about that?
Yeah.
There we go. That's perfect. We are Detective Pikachu's direct competition.
Oh, we're Detective Doug Trio because everybody, especially fandoms on the internet, fantasize about what's underneath the earth.
Three heads are better than one. We've even got a great motto. We'll dig for the truth.
Awesome.
And speaking of the massive amounts of nerd culture we just skipped across very quickly, Jacob, thanks for enjoying the talking points from the Toxic Nerd Culture episode, saying that we had a good basis on that, and that you mentioned that we can only hope some of these issues can help everybody.
Thanks again to all of the people who've commented or said anything about our show. I think I speak for all three of us when I say this is the kind of stuff that helps shape what our podcast is and what it can become. If you kind of like it, or if you're just listening to it because you like hearing Aaron's dulcet tones.
That's right. I'm giving you some dulcet tones from the Mikester.
Thank you, Mikester. The sultry side of Mike is coming out.
Mike on the mic at 9 a.m. I'm KBJ, you too.
So I'd like to close us out, and this time I'd like to ask both you of my co-hosts to ask a question to our audience. Now, if they answer or not, that's absolutely fine. It doesn't have to be a meaningful question either.
Aaron, I'll let you ask your question or do a questionative shout out if you so desire.
I will do a shout out. I will also ask a question and I will combine the two. There's one more thing I would like to end on with one of the particular people who shouted out to us. Jacob has been a friend of mine for over a decade now. He's a very good guy. And him and his friend Drew recently started their own podcast, and it is called The Cellcast.
Oh, sweet. Is it a Dragon Ball Z fan cast centered around Cell, the third major villain that they fought in Dragon Ball Z?
Ooh. Do they get Mr. Satan to talk on the podcast so that we can see what happened from the most powerful regular person on planet Earth?
Are they a biology-based podcast where they talk about microbiology and stuff they look at through microscopes?
Do they only talk about the androids?
Do they talk about the one movie from the 90s/early 2000s, I can't remember, called The Cell?
J-Lo.
And seriously, what's up with Cell's tail? Is it a musical instrument?
Syringe/trumpet.
Is it a mouth? The syringe trumpet's tail that could swallow you whole.
Or skewer you.
You gotta be a bold fighter to wear mascara. That purple mascara he wore. You gotta be a strong fighter to pull that off.
Now you've spurred me to add an extra podcast to my rotation.
Is the Cellcast a investing podcast where they tell you when to buy and sell stock?
Do they try to keep you out of a jail cell by teaching you how to not be bad? I think I've asked too many questions.
Are they an eBay-centric podcast?
All kidding aside, the Cellcast, it's C-E-L. It stands for the Cell for Animation. It's Jacob and Drew just talking about animated features, kind of some of the history of animation. They're very passionate about what they talk about. I would definitely recommend giving the podcast a listen. It's incredibly family-friendly. Jacob, thank you so much for shouting out at us. And my question, on the same vein, is what is your favorite animated feature-length film?
Mike, what's your question?
My question is, how many of our listeners enjoy tabletop RPGs, and how do you interact with friends or acquaintances that don't enjoy it or make fun of it or think it's silly, or you can tell that their reaction is confused and not embracing that idea?
Wowza. I don't have a whole mini podcast for my question. I was just going to say, reeling us back to video games, y'all on Twitter, any of you dedicated group of followers would know that I play more video games than I should, specifically Splatoon 2. The monthly community events are about to come to a close. By the time this episode comes out, at the end of the week, actually, will be the last monthly event for this game. Which team are you most interested in? Order or Chaos? That's all I'm giving you. Don't be on fire, guys. You can reach the hosts of Banter Banter on Twitter. At Brogar, C-R-E, for Manny.
You can find Aaron at 8BitWizard. The 8 is Roman numerical.
You can find me on Twitter at Mike8Time, the number 8.
Find us on Facebook or Twitter at Banter Bantercast. Or you could email us at banterbantercast@gmail.com. The opening and closing theme is called Making Me Nervous by Brad Sucks, off of his album titled I Don't Know What I'm Doing. Give it a listen, or consider buying it.
Be good or be good at it.
Now I need a catchphrase.
Yes, you do.
Thought our catchphrase was don't be on fire.